Alright, morning everyone. Welcome back. And welcome our special guest of honor. My father is here. Came all the way from Cincinnati just to hear this class. Actually, just to visit my children. And it happens to be I live in the same house as them. So, last time we learned, we discussed why there is such a thing as an oral Torah. And just to really briefly recap, only tangentially related, but we discussed that the purpose of having a Torah Shebaal Peh, of having an oral Torah, was actually a safeguard against the mistakes that creep into the Masorah, because if you have the Torah, the explanation of the Torah, the instructions for the execution of the Torah, which are held and maintained by a group of individuals to whom you have to come to ask what to do and to learn it, so that will actually diminish the mistakes that creep in if there's face-to-face contact and communication required as part of living the Torah. So that's actually going to diminish the mistakes that creep into the Torah, because if you have a, like we have today, as the Rambam himself points out, that you have a line in a book that you have to interpret, so no matter how clearly you try and do it, there's going to be 7 different ways to read this line of the Gemara, and there's going to be 4 different Shatim in the Rishonim, and then there's going to be 3 different takes on each of those Rishonim by that point. The confusion creeps in because there's always going to be the way you could approach the written word. If you have a person who's going to explain it to you in the terms that are germane to your time and culture, and to make sure that you get the message that he's trying to convey, that actually would serve to limit the mistakes and the divergence of understanding of how the Torah is meant to be observed. So this week, I wanted to talk about certain viewpoints into the Rambam of why the Torah Shebaal Peh was in the end written down. And yeah, if you ask someone this question, you know, the very simple one-line answer that generally get, why was the Torah written down? Because eventually, you know, there was such a struggle and you know, somewhat of a breakdown of the Masorah that they were afraid it would be lost if they didn't write it down, and therefore they had to write it down. But I want to just, in a little bit more of a rigorous and maybe deeper way, to see the Rambam's view of exactly how the Torah Shebaal Peh was meant to be transmitted from generation to generation, and through this to see why it was necessary in the end that it be written down. So we have the line here from the introduction to the Yad, the next line here. The Rambam here uses 4 different terms in describing the process through which the Torah went from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua and the next generation. We're just going to focus for now on the first two. The Rambam writes, so Afalpish lo nechtava Torah Shebaal Peh, we talked about that Afalpi last week, even though the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down, Limda Moshe Rabbeinu Kula Beis Dino L'Shivim Zakenim, he taught it, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah Shebaal Peh to, in his Beis Din, to the Shivim Zakenim, the Elazar Upinchas Yoshua Shloshdan Kiblu Mimoshe. So he taught, he was limeid the Torah Shebaal Peh to the Shivim Zakenim, who we call, you know, the paradigm of the Sanhedrin. And Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua were Mekabel from Moshe. So we have 2 different things here. We have that there was a limud of Torah Shebaal Peh, there was a teaching of Torah Shebaal Peh, and then there was a Kabbalah. There was a receiving and accepting of Torah Shebaal Peh. And we'll try and understand what these 2 terms are and what exactly the role, the significance of both of these things are. We'll try and see in the Rambam's, through the lenses of the Rambam, what these ideas mean. So, the first source we have, turn the page, is the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, describing the qualifications for the Sanhedrin, and we'll see, just to fall in line with what we just saw, that when the Rambam talked about the limud, that was something that was to the Shivim Zakenim, to the Sanhedrin. So, limud is something that's to the Sanhedrin. There's no Kabbalah. There's no requirement of receiving when it comes to the Sanhedrin. The Rambam describes, Ein ma'amidin b'Sanhedrin. This is Perek Sheni Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Sanhedrin. Ein ma'amidin b'Sanhedrin, bein b'gdola, bein b'ktana, ela anashim chachamim u'nevonim. People who are wise and understanding, muflaim, chachmas HaTorah, who excel in their knowledge knowledge of the Torah, Bale Dea Meruba, they have wide awareness of what's going on, the Yodim Keter Kitsas Mishar Chachmos, and they know a little bit of all of the other fields of knowledge, Kedon Rifuos, they know medicine, the Cheshbon, they know math, Cheshbon Tekuvos, Umazalos, Vitzdagminus, astronomy, Vidarke Ham Onanim, Vakosmim, they know some of the ways of Avodah Zarah, of they know a little bit enough to know what's going on with sorcery and necromancy, the Hevle Avodah Zarah, and all of the nonsense of Avodah Zarah, Ukiyotze Ve'elu, and all these things, Kedeshu Yodim Ladunosam, in order that they know how to judge them. What the Rambam leaves off of this list is nowhere does he say that they have to have been Mekabel Torah Shebaal Peh. He says there are a lot of requirements here. He leaves off that they have to be the transmitters, the Mekablim, or the Mosrim for that matter, of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Sanhedrin were the people who know the Torah Shebaal Peh, but there leaves off of this anything about being Mekabel the Torah Shebaal Peh. We'll get to in a minute exactly what the significance of that is. But as we discussed last week, the role of Sanhedrin in every generation was that they were the ones in charge of being able to instruct everyone else. That was Valisa Alamakomahu, that you come to the Sanhedrin to get instruction on how to keep the Torah, and therefore there was a group of individuals, as the Sanhedrin, and there were other Chachamim, and that they were the ones who had the final say on Kimitiun Teitei Torah, that from their instruction went to Klal Yisrael from the Sanhedrin, and they were responsible, therefore, knowing the Torah well enough that any question that came up, they could instruct what to do. That's level number one, and that was the level of the Shivim Zakanim, of the elders, who Moshe taught the Torah to. They have to know it in order that they can answer all the questions that are asked. And that's the level of Limud, and that was the level of the Sanhedrin in every generation until such time as there was no longer a Sanhedrin. We start to see the emergence of a different level in the writings of the Rambam. So we have a few quotes here. This is the Rambam, really, where you see this emergence of an idea called the Mekablin, or the Rambam in different contexts refers to it in different terms. In Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, at the end of the Halacha here, the Rambam writes, he's explaining the drasha that gives the Sanhedrin and the Chachamim the authority. That's the pasuk of Losasor, right? In the end of the pasuk says, Mikol Hadavar Asher Yagidu Lecha, from whatever they tell you, from whatever they give over to you, Losasor Yami Losmol. So says the Rambam, Mikol Hadavar Asher Yagidu Lecha, Zu HaKabbalah. That's referring to the Kabbalah, Shekiblu Ish Mipi Ish, the Kabbalah which each generation received directly from the previous generation. The Rambam in Hillel's Talmud Torah has a different term which he uses for this, which throughout the Hakdamah to both the Yad HaChazaka and to the Hakdamah to the Mishnayos, the Rambam uses this other term, which is the Rambam describes in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes of the Talmud Torah, Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, I am Chot Ve'etzim Umehem Shor Ve'mayin, among the leaders of Klal Yisrael, of the Torah leaders of Klal Yisrael, there were wood choppers and water carriers, people who did all kinds of, you know, professions, what we would, you know, today relate to, you know, the plumber and the garbage man. There were the blue collar that they Umehem Suman, there were those who were blind, or Yosef was blind, or Sheshes was blind, Ba'atal Pichain, and even so, Hayu Oskin B'Torah B'Yom V'Layla, even so, they were involved, they were immersed in Torah day and night. V'Heim Michlal Ma'atike Hashmua Ish Mipi Ish, is that same phrase, Ish Mipi Ish, but now instead of being Mekablim, or Kiblu, they're now the Ma'atike Hashmua, they are those who copied over, or who transmigrated the Shmua, the teachings, the lessons of the Torah Shebaal Peh, Ish Mipi Ish Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, an oral tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. So here the Rambam uses what we might call more of a descriptive term, that these people, those who are responsible for relating, and the word ma'atik we use today to mean to copy something. It's to be ma'atik. It means to move something directly as it is from one place to another. To transpose something is called to be ma'atik. Those who are responsible for being ma'atik, from taking the shmua exactly as it is from here to there, from the previous generation to the next generation, those were the, there was a group who, before the Rambam referred to it as the Mekablim, now as the Ma'atike Hashmua, there was a select group. This is not all of the Sanhedrin. This is a select body, a more elite group, which is called the Ma'atike Hashmua, those who were responsible for transmitting the Mesorah from one generation to the next. The Rambam makes this point very explicitly in the second Mishnah the first Mishnah in Perek Yud Aleph of Sanhedrin. The Rambam there is all describing the Mishnah there is talking about Zakin Mamre, and the Rambam writes the Amar Acharkach Lo Sasser Min Adava Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmol. You shall not veer from whatever they tell you, from all of everything that they are Yagidu, that they tell you Yamin Usmol, to the right or to the left. V'zehu Adava HaMekubel Etzlam Ish Mipi Ish. This is that which they have received, which has been, that they've accepted from one person to the next, generation to generation. V'hu sheyomru kach kibalnu. This is when Chazal say, kach kibalnu, this is what we've received. This is the halakha, or the information. This is the point that we have as a Kabbalah. We'll get in a minute exactly the significance of that, what that means. Sheyomru kach kibalnu, when they say, kach kibalnu, this is what we receive. And this is why the pasuk says Yagidu, that which they tell you, which they relate to you, because all that these chachamim are involved in this process is just saying it. They just tell you what they have in their hands, meaning the information that they have, that they know, from receiving it. Meaning you have things, the Rambam will see as we go further in the Hagdama in the coming months, but that the Rambam discusses there is such a thing as Kiddush, there is such a thing when Chazal made new Gzeiros and new Tachamas and even new Drashas. The Tachamim could come along and they could make a Drasha D'Oraisa, a Halakha D'Oraisa, using the framework that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them, the Yud Gimel Midot Shetor and the Drashas Bahem, the rules of making Drashas, but they could create new Drashas which did not exist before them. That's not what we're describing here. What the Rambam is talking about is something which they don't have any. It's nothing. It's not. This isn't something they are creating, they are involved in, they have any input in. It's not their understanding of something. This is just them relating. It's just their only involvement in this process is saying it. Their only involvement in this process is giving it over. They've received this information, and now they are relating this information. And that is the role of the Chachamim, the Mekablim, those who are the receiving of the tradition, the people who are in charge of saying over the Mesorah, giving the Mesorah from one generation to the next, from one Mekabel to the next Mekabel, in its exact preserved form, as we discussed previously. The form does not mean the words themselves. The nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is that there are no words which it can be confined to. It will always be expressed in the terms which are relevant and understood in that generation and in that culture. But that the idea, the concept of what the Torah Shebaal Peh contains, that they are in charge of relating that, of giving that over to the next generation of Mekablin, the next generation of the vanguard of Torah Shebaal Peh, are going to ensure that from one generation to the next, that the Torah Shebaal Peh remains intact. And just the last point in this little section, one other place where the Rambam very clearly uses this terms, and we'll get back to this later because this is very significant. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Gimel in Halachas Vav Zayin and Ches goes through in a very concise form the flip side of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, of the 13 principles which the Rambam formulates in the Hakdama to the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, where the Rambam praises them in a positive. So the Rambam in in Paragimel of Hilfos Tshuva praises them all in what your status is for rejecting or failing to believe one of these things. And Halakha Thassia at the end, he talks about three types of Kofrim B'Torah, three groups of those who reject the Torah. Shlosha Hina Kofrim B'Torah. So the first one is those who say that any pasuk in the Torah was made up for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the second one, which we have underlined here, is V'chein HaKofer B'Theirusha V'hi Torah Shabalteh. What is, if you are matfish, if you deny the perish, the explanation of the Torah Shabbatzav, which is the Torah Shabbalteh, V'hikfish Magideha, and you are matfish the Magidim of the Torah Shabbalteh, Kigon Tzadik U'Baitus, like Tzadik and Baitus. So there's a special status of is rejecting Torah Shabbat Peh. Specifically, there's a special status of rejecting or denying, refuting the Magidim of the Torah Shabbat Peh, those who are entrusted to be, those who are giving over the Masor of the Torah Shabbat Peh as a direct intact Masorah from one generation to the next. So someone who rejects that is also part of the group who is called the Kofrim in the Torah. And the Rambam says that the lot is they're called an Apikoros, or they're called a Min, that they are their status is the status of a heretic. And we'll get back to why that is such a critical point, why it's so important that someone who argues with the Magidim that they have the status of a Kofer. We'll get back to in a moment.
Isn't there, there's not focus on what the Masorah is, right?
So we'll get to that also.
Okay.
We'll touch on that today because it's very central. It's very relevant to the discussion. But the idea of machlokas in general, we'll get to, I think, in its own discussion in a later class. But today we do need to touch on it because as you're pointing out, it is a very relevant point. So so they were part of it. So it went all the way in, as we'll see in the Rambam, that the Mekablim went all the way until Ravina and Ravashi, went all the way down to the ceiling of the Talmud, was the end of the Mekablim, was the end of the Kabbalah. So the Rambam makes a somewhat startling statement in Hilchos Mamrim, which if you read it out of context seems Mavil Arayon, seems, you know, impossible to understand, but within the background of what we're developing, I think we'll see that it actually is a very specific point which makes a lot of sense within the context of what the Rambam is discussing. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim, Divrei HaKabbalah Ein Behen Machlokis La'olam. Matters of Kabbalah, matters which are the received tradition, have no machlokis in them ever. The kol davar shetimtzer bo machlokis, anything in which you find a machlokis, anything which you find that there are differing opinions, beyadua she'enu Kabbalah mi Moshe Rabbeinu. You can be certain that that is not part of the Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. So, before we get to just addressing David's point, David's question, this is part one. The Rambam makes the claim here that there's no such thing as that there's never machlokas in points that were received. The Rambam in the next point, and this is where we really understand the context of what the Rambam means and the importance of always having a broader context and what the Rambam writes. The Rambam uses his terms very carefully. The Rambam does not just bandy around, and so to understand precisely what the Rambam means, have to know how the Rambam himself defines his terms. So the Rambam, in the Hakdama to Pirush Mishnayos, divides the halachos of the Torah Shebaal Peh, or the just Divrei Chachamim, into five groups. So says the Rambam, the first, with a focus here on the first two groups, he says, Chelek Rishon. The first group is HaPerushim HaMekubalim MiMoshe, the explanations which were received from Moshe, SheYesh Lahem Remez VeKasov, which have some hint to them somewhere in Scripture, O SheEfsher LaLamdam BaAchas Amidos, or they can be derived through a drasha, through the process of the Yud Gimel Midos Torah Nidrashas Bahem. The Zeh Ein Bo Machlokas Klal. In this group, in this category, there is no machlokas, there are no disputes whatsoever. Ella, Kol Zman SheYomer Adam Kibalti Kach V'Kach. As soon as someone will say, I was Mekabel, this is what I received, this is the Mesorah as I received it from my Rebbe, from my tradition. Mistalik Kol Vikuach, that's the end of the discussion. No further argument. As soon as someone would say that this is the Kabbalah, so that's the end of the discussion. That ends the machlokas. Now, just to put it in context, that does not mean that if some drunken rambling guy comes off the street and says Kach Kibalti, that's the end of the discussion. As we've been discussing, there is a select group of people who were established as the Mekabim, starting all the way from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. There were Shivim Zakenim, certainly qualified individuals. But even within that, there was a higher standard. There was a unique subset of individuals who were specifically qualified to be the Ma'atike Hashvua, to be the ones who could transmit the Mesorah in its entirety with accuracy to the next generation. Those are the people, and the Rambam uses the phrase in one place. He says the Heach Yomer Shezen, I don't know the exact words now off the top of my head, but he refers to one point that this person is Ne'eman to, he says, how do we know that this person is Ne'eman to say that this is his Mesorah? There was a certain level of the person had to be accepted as a Mekabel. There was a status that these are the Mekabel HaTorah. These are the people who are entrusted to give over the Torah. And within that group, the information that they give over is Ein Bo Machlokas. There's one more subgroup in this category, HaHelek HaSheni. The second section of the Dinei HaTorah is Hem HaDinim Shabahem Amru Shehem Halacha Moshe Sinai. These are the dinim that the Gemara describes as Halacha Moshe Sinai. Ve'in Aleihem Raya Kamoshe Amarnu. These are the dinim, the difference the Rambam says. The Rambam says that all dinim that are explaining how to keep the Torah were Namro Moshe B'Sinai. Moshe received the explanation of all of the dinim of the Torah at Sinai, and therefore, why are some of them called Halacha Moshe B'Sinai and some are not? So the Rambam says the difference between Halacha Moshe B'Sinai and every other Halacha, which is also to Moshe from Sinai, is that the Halacha Moshe B'Sinai is only Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, was only communicated to Moshe at Har Sinai, and was not transmitted directly to Klal Yisrael in the form of the Torah Shebetzav, in the form of the written Torah. The halachos of all of the other halachos which were explained to Moshe are explanations of something which is written there, which you can figure out. There's some remez or some hint to it, some drasha, some method of extracting it from the Torah Shebetzav. That is the Perushim HaNamrim LaMoshe, the explanations of the written word which were told to Moshe. How are you meant to read this pasuk? How are you meant to understand this halacha? That was told to Moshe. And then there was a separate group which has no hint in the written Torah anywhere. And that is Halacha Moshe Sinai. Says the Rambam about these two things, both of which have a common denominator, that these are the explanations of the Torah which were given from Hashem to Moshe. The only difference being whether or not they're also hinted at in Torah Shebetzav. But these two groups which were given to Moshe from Hashem as explanation of how to keep the Torah, these are all what we refer to as the Divrei Kabbalah, and Ein Bo Machlokas. And when it comes to these things, and there is no machlokas, there are no disputes about these points. These were things which were the specific body of information which was transmitted from one generation to the next, from this elite group, this specific group called the Mekabalei HaTorah, from one generation to the next.
We'll get to the prime example of
Shechita. Actually, a lot of the halachas of Shechita are halachas of Moshe Sinai. I don't know if it's the primary example. The primary example, which So tefillin has 10 halachas, and you know about it. They say that but chatzitzin and mechitzos, the halachos of mechitzos for Shabbos and other Erevin and Sukkah and things like that, where you need, where you have halachas of mechitza, those are, the Gemara gives as an example of halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim, shi'urim, the din of, you know, kezayis and kebeya and kerimon and all these different things. There's also halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim. So there are, the Rambam actually in the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah says a very interesting line. He says, I'll list for you now a lot of the halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim, maybe even all of them. That's the lashon of the Rambam. He says, I'm going to list a bunch of them. This might even be all of them. And then he lists 15 or 20 or so halachos, just you know, gathering them from throughout the Talmud, a list of all of the halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim. But so there, I don't know if there's one prime example. Shechita is brought as a primary example where you see clearly, at least according to Rashi's explanation of the pasuk, where you see clearly in that the Torah Shebichsav refers to something which was not written down, because the pasuk by Shechita says kasher tzivisi, as I commanded, and you look throughout the rest of the Torah Shebichsav and you don't find where Hashem gave any instructions of what he commanded about Shechita. Rashi says this is referring to what I commanded Moshe at Har Sinai, and that's not written in the written Torah. The Ramban there actually has a different shot in the pasuk, which is different from Rashi, but that is often brought as a primary example of where you see the Torah Shebal Peh explicitly acknowledging the existence of a Torah Shebal Peh. But in any case, now very important, we're going to get back to the third category a couple pages from now. That's just the third category is the halachos which were learned out by the Chachamim throughout the generations. And we'll get back to that, because that's going to be very important for our discussion in one moment. But just to bring the apparent source for the Rambam, where is the Rambam getting this from? So, the Mishnah in Yevamos is describing the halachos of the yichus, the isurei yichus, people who are not allowed to marry into Kali Yisrael even after they've converted to Yiddishkeit. So let's read the Mishnah really quickly. The context is really the last part, the last line, but Ammoni Moavi Asurim, an Ammoni and a Moavi are also to marry into the Jewish people. The Isurim Isur Olam, their Isur is a permanent Isur, no matter how many generations later, they're still not able to, as long as their children still have the status, the complicated discussion in Kiddushin of which status they have, if an Ammoni convert marries, you know, a convert from some, you know, other nation, that what's the status, but as long as they still have the status of an Ammoni, they're not allowed to marry in. Avam Nik Vosehem Mutaros Miyad. But their female descendants, a daughter of an Ammoni, is who converted, and then an Ammoni who converts and then has a daughter. His daughter, first generation, is allowed to marry in to the rest of Kali Yisrael. Mitzri, the Adomi, Einam Esurim El Ashlosha Doros, Echad Zachar V'Echad Nekevos. A Mitzri and an Adomi, they are not allowed to marry in for three generations, and that prohibition is both for the males and the females, for sons and daughters. Rabbi Shimon Matiras and Nekevos Miyad, Rabbi Shimon also permitted the females immediately. Now, here's where we want to get to. Amar Rabbi Shimon Kal V'Chomer Advar. Rabbi Shimon said, I have a Kal V'Chomer. An A fortiori. That clarifies it for anyone. Uma'in b'malkum sh'asar es ha-zacharim. Isra olam, hitir es ha-nekevos miyad. If by the Ammoni and Moavi, where their Isra is permanent, is seemingly a much stricter prohibition, you're telling me it does not extend to the women. Malkum sh'lo asar es ha-zacharim el ha-shloshadol. So in the case by the Mitzri, his prohibition is only for three generations, seemingly a much less severe prohibition, so ain't no din should not address in the cable. So how much more so that it should not extend? If I see that in general this is a more lenient prohibition, how much more so that it should not extend to the daughters? Now the reply was miyad amruo, immediately they said to him, im halacha mikabel. If you're telling us a halacha, you're telling us this is the halacha that I know, I have my explanation here of why I think it's compelling. because I was caught up Homer, but the reason I know this is true is because this is the Kabbalah that I have, Nikabel. So then we'll accept it. The Imla Din, but if you're trying to prove something new, if you're trying to draw your own conclusion and your own extrapolation, Yesh Tshuva, we have a response for you. And the Gemara says exactly what the response was, that the by the Amonim Moavim, that the Torah says that they, the reason that they're not allowed to marry the Klal Yisrael is because they didn't come out to offer food and drink to the Klal Yisrael. They were wandering past them in the desert, and the Gemara says that that's not a taina, that is not a claim against the women, because the women aren't expected to come running out to greet people with food and drink. The Gemara has a response, maybe they should, maybe they, but either way, so there's a whole dispute in the Gemara. So if there's a specific line of reasoning unique to the Ammonim and Moavim, so your Kal Vachomer is, you know, not so compelling. There's a special line, an independent line of reasoning, which only applies over there. And Rabbi Shimon replies, Amar Lahem Lo Ki Halacha Ani Amer. He says, no, I'm telling you Halacha that I received. I wanted to add my own, you know, to make it Kaftor Vavach, to make it, you know, much nicer, that to add on a Kal Vachomer to show why this is, you know, logically makes sense also. But at the end of the day, says Rabbi Shimon, this is what I received as a Kabbalah, and the Mishnah basically says that they said to him, if you're telling us a Kabbalah, so even though we have a problem with your reasoning, if you're telling us this is what you received through tradition, okay, fine, that's the end of the argument. So the Rambam, working with it, seemingly this idea, and you see this idea in a few other places, but the idea of Kach Kibati, if I say this is the Kabbalah that I have, that's the end of the discussion. The next category.
Shimon was one of the people who was allowed.
Right. So the Rambam. I don't remember if I ended up putting it in here. Okay. I kind of. There's a more explicit way. I think I left it out, but we'll see that the Rambam, not really like black and white, but very a very strong implication in the Rambam that anyone who is named in the Gemara as an Etana and a Moa was part of the group of Mekabelim, right? Which is, if you go through, you know, how many generations it was, is not so many people. The Rambam says, you know, that there were tens of thousands of Talmidim in every generation. We have, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 Amoraim in every generation. So those who were speaking in the Gemara, those who have attributed a halacha to them in the Gemara, they are the Rambam implies, those are the Mekabelim. And we'll get to that in a moment. But so back to the Hakdama, to Mishneh Torah that we were looking at a moment ago. So the Rambam says there's the third group. The third group is the halachos, the dinim, which were learned out through one of the midos that the Torah was learned from. And says the Rambam, just before the area that I bracketed off here, says the paragraph before, Bahem no falls machokas, kamo shamari. And there you will have machokas. In this area, in the category of things which they learned out through the midos, through svaras, through whatever it is, you'll have machokas in that. We're not going to get to the fourth and fifth, which are the gzeros and the takanos. So gzeros and takanos, for stateside, it's understood you have machokas by that. One person feels it makes sense to have a gzera, one person feels it doesn't make sense to have a gzera. So I think that this is a problem that you know, is significant enough that we need to make a halakha d'rabbanan to distance people from it. The Rambam says, no, it's not as much of a problem. There it's understood how machlokas will come. But the Rambam here is specifically addressing, these are dinim d'oraisa, Torah halakos learned out from the Mido Shatar and Idreshus by him. He says, there you will have machlokas. So now I'm going to go through the rest of the paragraph, skip down to where I bracketed it off here. Says the Rambam, those who think that even those things which are Kabbalah Mimosha, which were received in the tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, Nafla Bahem Machlokis, that they have Machlokis that fell into them also, and how would that happen? By the things which are learned out from the dinim, the drashos and midos, how do you have machlokas? Because two people don't have the same, you know, way of looking at things. I learn it this way, you learn it that way. If I'm coming up with something new, you won't necessarily agree with me. So how is there machlokas in the area of dinim which were learned out from drashos and things like that? Because we disagree. But when it comes to the things which are learned through the Kabbalah, through the Masorah, Masoah. So how do you have machlokas by that? Would only be Nabla Machlokas Machmas Toast, the Kabbalah Shinnaka. By a mistake or by forgetting. The Shah Echad Sodek the Kabbalah, so, and one of them is correct in his Kabbalah, Bashini Torah the Kabbalah, so, and the other guy's wrong. And that's why you have machlokas even in these areas, because somebody forgot, somebody made a mistake, and one guy's right and one guy's wrong. Oh, Shashacha, or he forgot. Or he did not properly listen to and learn everything that he needed to learn from his Rebbe, and therefore he doesn't have it so clear. Well, maybe Ryalakah, and the person who thinks this, will bring a proof for himself and say, Mimash Amru, Misha Rabu Talmide Shammai Vehillel, at the point at which the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel became abundant, or a lot of them, Shaloshim Shukol Tzarkan, that they did not serve, they did not spend enough time with Shammai and Hillel, Rabsa Machlokas Yisrael, at that point Machlokas increased among Bnei Yisrael, Vanasasa Torah Kishtei Torah. At that point the Torah became like two Toros, because you had many Talmidim of Shammai who fell one way, many Talmidim of Hillel who fell another way, and it became like two schools of thought. So let's say, you see from there Araya that at the point at which there were Talmidim who were low Shimshu called Tzarkan, Talmidim who weren't doing a good enough job, that's when the Torah became like two Torahs. That's the Raya that such a person would bring, and we'll get back to how the Rambam responds to that Raya, but says the Rambam in very strong terms, Hine zeh chai Hashem davar meguna u'muzer mi'od. He says, by God I swear that this idea is meguna, is disgusting, u'muzer, and strange mi'od, very much. V'hu davar bilti Nahon, and it is incorrect, and it does not fit with the principles of the Masorah, of the tradition of Halakha, as we have it, and he is casting doubt on the people from whom we've received the Torah, the Kol Zabato, and he says, it's all nonsense. This suggestion that the people who were transmitting a Masorah which they received were transmitting things that they, you know, didn't know so clearly, that they had a fuzzy memory about, that they just made mistakes, they didn't do a good enough job learning it, and therefore there were disputes about things which were received as a tradition because people just, you know, weren't doing a good enough job.
And that didn't happen.
So the Rambam says that did not happen, and he says to suggest such a thing is casting doubt, is undermining the entire foundation of the tradition that we have.
What if that actually happened?
So says the Rambam, if you look, you will find in anything in the Gemara which was a halacha Moshe Sinai, which was a Kabbalah of that source, you do not have a machlokas. You can have a machlokas when something was created anew from a drasha, even if it was created in a previous generation, because once you know, in the second generation of Tanayim, somebody makes a drasha and somebody disagrees, so it becomes part of nobody's making a mistake three generations later to say two different opinions. They both know that they both received this Masorah of two different traditions. But to say that there were those who were transmitting over the Masorah and saying, this is the halacha definitively, this is the halacha that I've received, when they don't really know, when they're not really sure, when they're just saying what they think, says the Rambam that you are suspecting the people about whom we have the utmost respect as the authentic transmission of the Torah, of basically incompetent, not just incompetence, but also of gross negligence. If you're going to say over something as definitively, yes, this is what I know because I received it as tradition, when really what you mean is, I'm pretty sure I received this as tradition, that you're not just saying that maybe they're not, they didn't remember so clearly, maybe they don't remember so clearly, and they don't care that they didn't remember so clearly. Says the Rambam, that is not, that never happened in the Masorah of the Masira of Torah Shabbat. That says the Rambam, and this is, or Weinberg explained this way, don't have the source in the packet, but that you could have, does it not mean that these people were superhuman and were not prone to error or forgetting? You could have someone who was the status of Makabel who could forget. But what? If he forgets, he knows he forgot. He's not going, or at least he knows he's not sure. If he says he's not going to say, these are not people who were, you know, happened to me. I could have something that I'll tell you, which I remember Steve Berkowitz saying, because I sat in Shear one day and I heard him say it 9 years ago, and I'm pretty sure this is what he said. In my memory, that's the way it is. That's not the Masorah of that. You don't have four people in every generation who are the miyuchadim, the particular individuals picked out for this because one time in Shear they heard someone say something. These are the people who dedicated their lives to knowing exactly what the Masorah was from the previous generation. No, I heard it one time, I heard it, and I think I remember. These are people who spent years and years drilling down and making sure that they had exactly what the Masorah was. And if they don't have it exactly, then they say, I don't have it exactly. The Masorah of the points which were brought from the Masorah, the Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, that was always transmitted with the utmost sanctity and respect and clarity, and that was why in every generation you only have very select few Yechidei Sevuah who were selected to be the Mekablim of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Just one last page over here. Nimsa.
These people all know each other.
I mean, they're spanned generations, but within each generation, they did know each other. And the Rambam makes a point that a certain point when we're not going to see it today because I didn't underline it, and we're only here to underline. But it's in this section right over here. The Rambam discusses the point at which the Klal Yisrael spread out was one of the components of when the Mekablim, the era of the Mekablim ended. If you turn right here, the last page on the source sheet, this is also in the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. Nimta Ravina Rav Ashi V'chavreim Sof Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael Hama'atikim Torah Shebaal Peh. That we find that Ravina and Rav Ashi were the end of the Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, who were the Ma'atikim, who were the ones who copied over the Torah Shebaal Peh from one generation to the next. The Shagazu Gzeros, and that they made Gzeros and its Kinu Tekanos, and they made enactments, and Higum and Hagos, and they initiated customs, who Pashtu Gzeros and Tekanos and Minagos and Holy Yisrael, and their Gzeros, Tekanos, and Minhagim spread out to the entirety of the Jewish people, because they were the authoritative Mekablim of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Kol Beis is the Rambam, but afterwards there was a miut in the level of learning of the next generation and the generations that followed, to the point where they were not the level to receive the Masorah in the same way that Ravina and Ravashi and the generations before them, and therefore Ravina and Ravashi at the Chasimus of Talmud, they sealed the Talmud. The Kol Beis Din Sha'amad Achar Talmud, the Kol Medina Medina, any Beis Din, any Jewish court which gets up anywhere in the world after that the Gaza or Titzkin or Hinnig B'nei Medinoso or B'nei Medinos, he makes a Gzeira, he makes some enactment or decree for his country or for his region. Low Pashtun Laisa B'chol Yisrael does not spread out to all of Klal Yisrael. Lefika, skipping down to the last underlying section, Lefika Ein Kovin Anshe Medina Zu Minhag Medina Chas. Therefore we do not force the people of one province, of one region, to follow the decrees of another. The Ein Omrim L'Beis Din Zeh Ligzor Gzeir Shagazor Beis Din Acher. We don't say they made this Gzeir over here, so you should do it over here also. At the end of the Talmud, there's no longer the authority to say definitively that this is what the halacha should be. It was only when you had the Mekablim, those who had the level of that we are able to transmit the Torah with definitive accuracy that this is the Masorah that we've received. It was only at that time when you can have the authority to be Torah Yotzei L'Klal Yisrael, to have one halacha going out to all of Klal Yisrael. Ravina and Rav Ashi, at the very end of the Talmud, they are the last ones who are the Madrega of Mekablim, of Ma'atiki Ashnua, and they saw that the following generation did not have the capability, whether it be because of the spreading out, whether it be because of all of the sorrows of the foreign powers that were in play, whoever it was, they saw that the next generation did not have the capability to carry on the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Kabbalah of the Torah Shebaal Peh, in the same way that they had until now, and therefore they had to write it down, because the way, the only thing which keeps the Torah Shebaal Peh Baal Peh is the fact that it can be given over Baal Peh definitively. It can be that as long as the Torah Shebaal Peh has the ability to be a body of law on which you cannot argue, at that point it can be a Torah Shebaal Peh. As soon as it's no longer that, it has to be written down. And that is the reason why someone who is Matkish Magiyah, as long as you have a body of law, which is this is the halakha, end of story, you have a Torah. As soon as the Torah Shebaal Peh, as anyone who comes along and says, okay, this is what they received, but who are they? You know, I have my own opinions. There's no more halacha, like the Rambam writes in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, by the third mission of Pirkei Avos, that Tzadok and Baitos, they didn't really want to accept the Torah Shebichsav either. But they had no choice. They couldn't tell Chal Yisrael the Torah Shebichsav to just get rid of the Torah Shebichsav. So what do? They argue on the Torah Shebaal Peh, because they know very well, if I argue on the Torah Shebaal Peh, I can say whatever explanation I want in the Torah Shebichsav. As soon as I've opened the gates for explanation in Torah Shebichsav, there is no more Torah. There's no longer authorial intent. There's no longer what did God mean when he wrote this, because anybody can claim whatever they want. As soon as there was the introduced into the Masorah that the Masorah is not reliable, to challenge the Masorah, that is a Makhish HaTorah. They're not someone who's just arguing with the rabbis. They are arguing with the Torah because they are undermining the fundamental transmission of the Torah, which was kept that way because of its integrity. As soon as it no longer had that integrity, it was closed. It was done. The point at which we said, we can no longer make these objective statements that this is what the Masorah is. It was at that point they said that that's the case. We don't have a Torah Shebaal Peh anymore. It's time to write it down. And it is a loss to the Torah Shebaal Peh that it was written down. It was necessary because that which is definitive has to be known, that this is what's definitive. But it was a loss because, as we mentioned, the Torah Shebaal Peh, it wasn't an accident that there was a Torah Shebaal Peh. Having an oral tradition maintained the integrity of the Torah, because as long as you have to go and have a human being who you speak to understand the ratzon of the Torah, there will be added clarity into it. But as soon as there is no human being who can tell you this is the ratzon of the Torah, you no longer have that. And there's no longer a purpose in maintaining an oral Torah which does not have the definitiveness and the authority of this is absolutely what was told to Moshe at Har Sinai. And therefore, when that level of transmission was mitigated, was no longer possible, it was that point that it became necessary to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh.